Well, this news, reassuring though Alistair MacGibbon may have been, the news that the major political parties have been subjected to a cyber attack has underscored serious weaknesses in their defence against outside interference. The personal data belonging to millions of voters could be compromised and they'd never even know. David Crowe is the political correspondent with the Melbourne Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. David, hello there.
Morning, Fran.
Well, we've seen what happened and what can happen overseas when a foreign government decides to meddle in another's democratic processes. Just how vulnerable are our political parties to this type of outside interference and our democracy, therefore?
Completely vulnerable. We've just heard from Alistair MacGibbon about the systems that the government has in place, Department of Defence, looking after the Parliament of Australia. And that's great because you've got a government entity with more than $400 billion in annual tax revenue that can fund defences for its systems. The political parties are another matter in this story. And they're actually quite exposed because they have small budgets. They spend a lot of that money on campaigning. And what we've seen in the United States is that the big vulnerability in the 2016 election was not the government systems. It was a Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee, which was also attacked. So and that hacking led to a complete, the disclosure of information from the DNC that overshadowed that entire election.
Yeah, and we don't know yet what's been taken, if anything's been taken, or how that might bob up. As he said, there's a task force watching to see if there's any signs of information appearing, so we wait and see for that. But meanwhile, the democratic processes grind on, and Senate estimates was just a mine of information yesterday across a whole range of issues. David, I don't think I've ever seen an estimate session quite like it. In one of them, the head of ASIO, Duncan Lewis, made his feelings known. ASIO very unhappy about the leak of ASIO advice on the Medivac bill that somehow appeared on the front page, and he said wrongly the inference was incorrect on the front page of The Australian. We also learned now, today, that Nauru has banned medical transfers based on overseas telemedicine assessments. So presumably that would slow the number of refugees and asylum seekers brought to this country. So there's a lot coming out about this issue still.
Yeah, Duncan Lewis's message was a clear warning to the government against playing fast and loose with this issue and his advice ahead of the election, I think.
But on it was quite extraordinary. He gave that advice, and then the head of Home Affairs basically backed in the journalist.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a source of friction within the senior ranks of the public service ahead of the election, and they won't want to see that repeated. So that's a warning shot. On the Nauru issue, I was talking to a doctor last week who pointed out that there's a medical committee in Nauru that has to clear any medical transfer. So we've been focused in Australia on the debate about the Australian laws. Just remember that there's a Nauru government entity on that island that has to sign off on every medical evacuation. And what's interesting is that they appear to be very reluctant to do so. And that's why I think you have to take that into account if you're discussing how many will come from Nauru.
But David, isn't that the point of this new system? Is it'll override that committee?
It won't override a Nauru government committee. I mean, so, you know, Nauru has a statement out that suggests that it will be very cautious about allowing those transfers. Just because the doctors recommend that transfer under Australian law doesn't mean that the Nauru committee will quickly sign off. I've talked to a doctor who says it can take weeks and months for that committee in Nauru to do that. And the other thing is that the Nauruans are saying that they won't do that if the medical assessment is done by telemedicine. Now, that's been fundamental to one of the government arguments over the last week. The two doctors can just use a Skype session to sign off on a transfer. Well, if the Nauru committee says telemedicine is not an adequate assessment, then that's going to be, you know, a big factor in how many are actually taken off Nauru.
Yeah, and another roadblock in this. I mean, the whole point of it was to try and speed up this access to treatment. David, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
David Crowe is political correspondent with The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald.